If you're a mixed martial arts fan and have no plans for the New Year's Eve weekend, don't you worry, because there is a whole host of great events coming up, starting with UFC 79 on Saturday night, got the IFL Grand Prix on the same night, and then the Yarinoka event going down in Japan on December 31st. So many fights to talk about, so many personalities involved. We've invited my good friend Damon Sayles from the Dallas Morning News, a guy that I met just a couple of weeks ago covering the HGNet Fights event, and this guy is an encyclopedia of MMA knowledge. So before we begin, Damon, thanks so much for coming to the park and talking a little MMA with us.
No problem, man. Appreciate you having me.
All right, so let's start off with the big one, UFC 79. One that, as the folks at the UFC and Dana White like to say, 5 years in the making. Chuck Liddell going up against Wanderlei Silva. It seems as though most fans on the internet, at least, the jury's still out with this bout. I mean, some people are saying this one came a little too late. I, on the other hand, think it's a perfect time. Both guys coming off two consecutive losses, looking to rebound from those, reinvent their career. What do you think about the matchup of Silva against Liddell?
You know, I think it's going to be just as good as that Hughes St. Pierre matchup does. But I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, this is going to be a matchup where both guys, you know, they're looking for that big victory here. You know, they're coming off some clutch losses. You know, Chuck Liddell's been kind of dubbed as the face of MMA by media outlets lately here. You know, regardless of some of the losses, and you know, you look at Silva, he's been one of the best in the business. I mean, that's just the bottom line. I don't know, it's a coin flip right now. You know, you really can't say who's going to win, but I can tell you one thing, it's going to be a nice little clash.
If you had to wager, and I know journalists as respectable as yourself don't like to do that, but if you had to put down some coin on the favorite, who would you be favoring right now?
That's a tough question right there. You know, I'll probably have to go, you know, and I'm not a betting man for the record, but if I had to go with something, I would probably have to go with Silva. I think, you know, I think Liddell's a stronger, he may be a stronger competitor, but I think Silva may be a little bit more technically sound. So, you know, he saw something in the matchup against Rampage. So what's up?
All right, so we got that bout. You mentioned GSP and Hughes as the other co-main event. I, for one, I'm really looking for that one. I mean, other than the fact that GSP is from my hometown of Montreal, but I think that this one presents a better matchup than the original Serov fight. What do you think about the rubber match here of Georges St. Pierre and Matt Hughes? And again, who are you favoring?
First of all, you have two of the best pound-for-pound fighters in not in the country, but in the world here. You know, Matt Hughes, you know, 48 fights here. You know, St. Pierre, not as many fights, 15, but he's only lost two. It's going to be a question of age against experience, probably. You know, St. Pierre is, I believe, 8 years younger than Matt Hughes. You know, of course, Hughes has the experience. You know, Matt Hughes is performing well right now. You know, if I had to give my answer, I'd probably say Matt Hughes for now. Of course, that can change tomorrow. It can change in about an hour. But you know, that's how close these guys are. Both of them are, you know, they're similar fighters, they're technicians, and you know, they will beat you up. So we'll see what happens.
You know, I want to ask you, because I know you've covered the sport of boxing extensively, and this plays a huge factor, especially in that world, and not to mention the MMA world. After a guy's coming off a big loss, you know, we talked about Chuck Liddell and Wanderlei Silva. Hughes just lost to St. Pierre a year ago. He's had one fight since then against Chris Lytle, an impressive victory. How much does the loss affect you? I mean, at HGNet Fights a couple of weeks ago, we saw Tristan Yunker, who came off a bad loss to Rob Kimmins, look not in his best shape against Pete Spratt. Mentally, if you could go into the fighter's mind and kind of explain to the listeners out there, how are fighters unable so frequently to get over those big losses?
Well, a lot of it comes from the type of athlete that you are mentally. You know, if you look at fighters, you know, these guys who take these big losses, they a lot of them put everything that they had into the fight that they lost. And, you know, some of them are able to bounce back and say, you know, they can tell themselves, okay, you know, it's one loss. Everybody gets beat once in a while. you know. But then you have those others who, you know, they put everything into it and they can never recover. A lot of it depends on you know, how tough an athlete is mentally. And that, you know, that plays a lot in MMA. You know, it's not just about the physical aspect. You know, can you come back from, you know, a loss, especially if it's a loss that you knew in your heart that you were supposed to, that you weren't supposed to get? You know, it's just like boxing. You know, you look back, you know, a few years back at the whole Mike Tyson, you know, losing the Buster Douglas thing. You know, granted his career kind of spiraled, but you know, as far as fighting goes, fighting is concerned, you know, he came back and won a couple of fights, got his opportunity to fight Holyfield, and you know, it's just a matter of your mentality, how quickly you can recover from it. You know, you can't dwell on everything that happened in the past, and that's a lot of fighters. You know, they understand that, but you do have some of those fighters who just they just don't get it. So it just depends on your mentality, and a lot of that has to do with you know, who's around you, your trainers, your managers, and most importantly, the people who really have your back, and that's your friends and family.
You know, the jury is still out on whether or not MMA fans will accept the fact that the winner of Hughes and St. Pierre will become the new interim welterweight title holder. Personally, I think it's useless. I mean, we don't really need that. Sure, give them the 5-round fight. I understand the reason behind that, but Matt Serra is the champ, and it would just seem a bit weird that now one of these guys are being handed the title, sort of like a pro wrestling angle. What are your thoughts on the interim title? Do you feel as though it was necessary once Sarah got injured and it's unknown how long he will be able to come back in, that they had to crown one just so that the division is not sort of held up until he heals?
Well, I guess my take on it is this: if you're injured for an extended amount of time, then you know the whole sport is focused on being a fighting champion. And you know, if you're injured, then I think there's a point in time where you should have to give up that championship. However, once you return, and if you're in the best shape, or if you're in, you know, 80% of the shape that you were in, you should definitely get you know, become the number one contender. You should be able to get that opportunity to fight for your championship back because you know, you weren't beaten by anybody. You know, if basically you were beaten by yourself. You know, a leg injury, arm injury, what have you here. You should get that opportunity to you know, to fight again. It's going to be it would be just like you know, fighting at the number one contender spot. The only problem is that, you know, you'll get your name announced first rather than second. So, you know, I definitely feel like you know, injuries play a role. They definitely play a role, but you know, when it comes down to it, if you're injured and if you get your title stripped, because that's exactly what happened. And if you get your title stripped, you should get the opportunity to fight for your title again because, you know, technically speaking, nobody's beating you to take it away from you in the first place.
So pretty much you're saying that you think that this bout between GSP and Hughes should in fact be for the official title and that Sarah should be stripped?
I'm saying that if Sarah isn't able to fight, then I think that and again, this is with an extended period of time. I'm thinking that, you know, Sarah should give up the opportunity, give up the belt, and again, you know, the winner of this next fight here, you know, they should fight there for, you know, to be the outright champion. I mean, it's only fair for all three parties here because you really get to find out who is the best of the best. You know, it's really unfortunate for Sarah right now. Because you know, it's a tough situation, and a lot of people have different opinions about it. But when it comes down to it, Sarah's going to have to fight the number one contender anyway. So if he's the number one contender in this fight, you know, it's almost like the same thing. The bottom line is who wins that matchup, and the winner of that gets it outright.
What do you make of Matt Serra? Just last week, he had a conference call where he was very testy. I mean, on The Ultimate Fighter, not exactly the most friendly guy out there. Seems to rub a lot of people the wrong way, not to mention Matt Serra, who he was supposed to fight. Are you a fan of his and his whole persona? And you know, sometimes it's almost better to be a dick than to have no personality at all. What are your thoughts on Serra the fighter and how he handles himself outside of the cage?
You know what? As far as him being a fighter, I'm a big fan of him. You know, I mean, you know, granted he rode people the wrong way, but you know what? I think a lot of that is you know, it's part of his nature and it's part of his approach to, you know, to the MMA world here. You know, everyone's not going to be the classic goody two shoes, you know, I'm happy to see you type of individual. You know, he's somebody, you know, you hear the phrase all the time, keeping it real, you know, and he keeps it real with you. He's not going to sugarcoat the type of individual that he is. He's going to, you know, tell you, you know, this is the type of guy I am, and if you don't like it, well, you know, go to hell. But, you know, and a lot of people, they get offended by that. You know, they'll call him testy. Well, you know, and yes, he has a mean streak, and he's not necessarily your classic people person. But if you look at somebody like Bill Belichick over with the New England Patriots in the NFL, you know, he's by far, you know, the worst that you would want when it comes to people person. But you know, look what he's doing with that organization right now. I mean, they're on the verge of you know, finishing a regular season undefeated. So me personally, it's not necessarily you know, how you portray yourself. It's what you're doing in the octagon, and you know, Sarah's taking care of business right now.
You mean Hughes?
I'm sorry, Hughes. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. All right. The other big matchup that we're looking forward to is the African assassin Ramot Thierry Sokoju making his UFC debut, coming off a great year. We had two stellar knockouts in Pride, going up against Lyoto Machida, a guy a lot of people don't think that highly about, just because he, you know, doesn't have the knockouts on his resume. Doesn't come out guns blazing in his fights. But he's 11-0, and he's going up against a guy in Sokoju who's 4-1. Where do you fall in line in this one? I mean, Sokoju is kind of untested other than those two big bouts. This will be a huge test for him in his UFC debut. We've seen a lot of Pride guys fail once they've made the transition to the octagon. Do you feel as though 2007 is going to end on a high note for Sokoju, or will Machida, the veteran, be a little too tough?
This is an interesting battle. It's an intriguing matchup because, you know, both of the guys are still relatively new when it comes to, you know, to the card, to the, you know, the organization here. I don't know. I mean, you look at the assassin, and I mean, he's looking pretty good right now. But you know, it's hard to compete against an undefeated competitor. You know, it's an interesting call. I'm gonna say the assassin takes it, but you know, I'm gonna say it's not gonna be an easy victory at all.
All right, so let's move along 2 days later. Actually, no, excuse me. We'll first talk about the IFL on HGNet Fights. They're going to be airing the Grand Prix finals. This is a card that's been much maligned. I mean, the curse of the lightweight title is hanging over their heads. First, Chris Horodesky was supposed to fight Wagner Fabiano. Then he's supposed to fight... he was supposed to fight John Gunderson. He was supposed to, now he's going to be fighting Ryan Schultz. Prior to that, he had another opponent, and he went down to injury. I mean, it's been a whole host of injuries in line for Chris Horodesky, but now finally he's going to be fighting Schultz, and it's a weird situation because they've got the new featherweight title that wasn't even involved in the semifinals. The whole thing has just been very contrived. That said, it's going to be airing on HGNet Fights, along with four other title bouts will be decided for their first ever champions in each weight class, five in all. Before we get to the actual card itself, want to ask you about HGNet Fights. Since you are based in Dallas, you get to see a lot of their work. You were at the HGNet Fights Reckless Abandon show. What do you think about them signing, you know, the IFL, airing this bout, the Yarinoka bout with Fedor on it, and a whole host of other? They're showing Sport Fight, a lot of cards being shown on HGNet Fights, including their flagship show, Inside MMA. What do you think about Mark Cuban's first foray into the world of mixed martial arts?
I think Mark Cuban is a testament to the sport here. I mean, Frank Trigg, I had a chance to speak with Frank Trigg before the Reckless Abandon event, and you know, he hit the nail on the head. He basically said, you know, it's always good to have somebody in sports marketing and who has a business standpoint running your company. And you know, if you look at this event here, you know, 6,500 in the first event, 6,700 plus in the second event. You know, they're running a professional show, and they don't have to use a lot of pyrotechnics and you know, loud talking and this, that, whatever. They're running a respectable business here. And I really think that, you know, with the help of Cuban and Guy Metzger and guys like this, HDNet Fights really has an opportunity to be a huge deal, not only in Dallas, but nationwide.
Now, you're not just saying that because you are in Dallas right now. You actually
No, not at all, man. I mean, you look at this event, and, you know, I mean, honestly, if you look at what Mark Cuban did with the Dallas Mavericks, I mean, you know, they were the armpit of the NBA before he took over. And, you know, now, you know, you look at that program, and, I mean, it's one of the hottest teams in the league. It's one of the hottest marketed teams in the league. You know, Mark Cuban is a sports marketing genius, and you know, this is what he does. He does it well, and now that he's taking HDNet under his wing here, I'm expecting a huge thing for HDNet.
You know, Cuban has said that at first that he wasn't looking to compete with the UFC per se, but it seems as though that's really what they're trying to do. I mean, now they're talking about doing pay-per-views in 08. They're signing guys like Mayhem, Frank Trigg, Eve Edwards, Pete Spratz on their show, and looking to soon sign guys to exclusive deals. Now with that they have this relationship with the IFL, Tim Kennedy fought in the main event of their last show. They're going to be airing the Grand Prix. Do you think that it's good for them, HDNet Fights, to be associated with these other brands and having guys jump from show to show, kind of like what boxing does? I mean, it's not totally similar, but at the same time, you still don't have guys being exclusive like the UFC likes to do. Do you think that will one day be a positive for the MMA, or there's a chance that they might go down the same bad road as the sport of boxing?
I think it's good. It's good more for the fans than anything, because fans, you know, I mean, you were there when they announced that Randy Couture was in the building, and you know, the place went bananas. You know, same with Henderson. I mean, if you look at these guys, you know, they weren't on the fight card, but granted, fans know mixed martial arts. They know the MMA fighters here. This is going to be a big deal, not just for Mark Cuban, not just for HDNet Fights. But more importantly, it's going to be a big deal for all who follow the sport. You know, I mean, you know, people want to see them, and that's basically what I guess, you know, putting all these guys into one car. That's what that's going to do. It's going to be a nice merger for them.
All right, so what do you think about the International Fight League right now? Because as we said, they've had a whole host of troubles putting together this card, and they recently announced their plans for 08, only going to have 8 shows, trying to scale back a bit on the costs, only going to be you know, putting down shows in 3 cities as opposed to trying to travel all over the United States. And now they have their big chance after a not-so-stellar showing on My Network TV in early November for the semifinals of the Grand Prix. Now they have a chance to build a nice relationship with HDNet, a station that's really trying to build their MMA programming. What are your thoughts on the Grand Prix and the future of the IFL? Is this just, you know, counting down today the days to their death, or do you think this will be the beginning of their revival?
And it makes you wonder, you know, with the 8 shows here, you know, you almost wonder, are you building up for the extremely large shows, the heavy hitter shows, or are you doing this because you're scaling back and you're trying to merge here? That's the big question. I don't know if I can necessarily answer that. That's probably more of a front office type question. But I tell you one thing, you know, by only doing 8 shows, you know, that's only going to help, you know, these companies like HDNet Fights here, who, you know, they're planning on doing bigger and better events here. You know, it's a real touchy situation, but you know, it makes you wonder what's going to happen with this organization in the long run.
All right, so the final event, December 31st, New Year's Eve, a time that in Japan, at least, is huge for mixed martial arts, a whole history of great cards being put on New Year's Eve. And now rising out of the ashes of Pride comes the Yarunoka event that's being supported by M1 Global. Obviously, the head man at the top of all that is Fedor Emelianenko, going up against Hongman Choi, only 1-0 in his MMA career, but he's had some K1 fights, quote unquote, under his belt. A lot of people upset about Fedor's first fight here, being up against Hongman Choi, with guys like Josh Barnett being out there, Pedro Hizo. I mean, there were enough free agents that he could have fought, But politics as they are, he's fighting Hong Man Choi. What do you think of Fedor? Is this all just a lot of hype right now? I mean, on Inside MMA, he's ranked as the number one heavyweight, yet he hasn't fought a true heavyweight in over a year. Now he's going up against Hong Man Choi. Your thoughts on Fedor Emelianenko?
Well, it's like you said, you know, he's got his choice of free agents to fight here. That's a touchy thing, you know. You kind of wonder what exactly is he thinking? What's his camp thinking here? You know, he has one fight total here right now, and I don't know. I mean, that's probably something that you'd have to ask him more than anything, or maybe even his camp, because he might not give you a straight answer, but somebody in that camp will. Maybe he's preparing himself, or maybe he's trying to strengthen skills in other departments or in other areas here. I don't know, man. I guess we'll just find out what happens, because you still don't know about this about Choi and what he's going to bring. But yeah, it's a touchy thing. I don't know.
If you were to cast a vote as to who would be the number one ranked heavyweight right now, would you give the credit to Fedor, all that he's done on his resume, only one loss, or would you have to right now say that Randy Couture is the number one heavyweight?
You know what? Because of what Fedor is doing right now, I mean, I'd have to give it to Couture. And you know, again, you mentioned it best here. You know, he Fedor has the opportunity to fight whoever he wants, and he's fighting a guy with, you know, who's 1-0 on the card. And you know, the way I see it, the testament of a true heavyweight is somebody who's willing to fight the best, you know, at all times. Not saying that, you know, Choi is not the best right now, and you know, some people will definitely agree with that. But you know, I would definitely give it to Couture right now.
All right, so the year is coming to a close. We have you on as one of our last MMA guests of the year. If you'd want to put a nice little bow on the 2007 year of mixed martial arts, when you look back on it, so many big news. Things that a year ago we never would have expected would have ever gone down. How do you look back on 2007, your thoughts and impressions?
I think it was a good year. You know, of course, being from Dallas, I'm going to have to side with you know, how HDNet fights finished out the year. It was a pretty good finish here. I mean, your total attendance in two fights, you're looking at about, what, 13,500 roughly. Not bad for a quote-unquote startup organization, but you know, it'll be interesting to see what IFL and Pride and the UFC, HDNet fights, what all these companies are doing here. It'll be really interesting to see what happens in 2008.
For some reason, we're not surprised that you ended it off talking about HDNet fights, but that's what you get from a Dallas boy. Damon, thank you so much for joining us. Great talking MMA with you. Love to do it again soon, and above all, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. You too, man. Take care.